This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Europe's stagnant economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for David Brancaccio, with the global perspective on business and economics. Some not-so-great economic news out of Europe. Gross domestic product for the second quarter is out this morning for the Eurozone, and across the board, economic growth was flat. Germany, Europe's largest economy, contracted in the second quarter by 0.2%, and France saw economic growth flatline. GDP is a measure of all the goods and services a country produces. It's seen as the measure of economic growth. The BBC's Theo Leggett joins me now to talk about what this means. Good morning, Theo.
Good morning, Stacey.
So tell us, what did we see from the GDPs of Germany, France, and other European countries?
Well, the one which will be getting all the headlines is from Germany, which actually saw its economy contract by 0.2% in the 3 months to the end of June. Now, that's due to a number of factors, partly a fall in exports. Germany is very, very reliant on selling goods around the world. There's also the fact that it was quite a mild winter, so a lot of construction work was brought forward, which may have improved the figures in the first quarter at the expense of the second quarter.
What is accounting for this economic stagnation and contraction in the case of Germany?
Germany, as I said, sells around the world. So there's been a bit of weakness in the Asian markets, for example, a little bit of loss of momentum in China. That may have had an impact. But a much bigger impact is that confidence seems to be falling as a result of the situation in Ukraine. Now, to begin with, we have sanctions in place. Those sanctions have not yet shown up in the figures, but what has shown up is the impact of tensions, so businesses are more reluctant to invest. And, of course, Germany's biggest trading partner is actually next door. That's France, and France is in all sorts of trouble. Its economy is not picking up, its recovery seems to have lost all momentum, and there are now serious concerns that it could go into reverse.
Now, the numbers we're seeing out this morning, of course, from the second quarter, what are we expecting to see in the current quarter?
We have the existing pressure in countries like France and Italy and Portugal, where the recovery clearly seems to be stalling. But also we have the added factor now that sanctions between, on the one hand, the European Union and Russia, and on the other hand, the return sanctions imposed by Russia may start to take effect. Now, at the moment, those sanctions aren't particularly broad, but they do affect, for example, the fresh foods market. Now, those are likely to weigh down on Europe's economy, even if only by a small amount. And then, of course, there's the question of escalation and businesses fearing the future and therefore being reluctant to invest. So we could well see the trend in this quarter extending to the next quarter as well.
The BBC's Theo Leggett. Theo, thank you.
Thank you, Stacey.
Here at Marketplace, we talk a lot about different economic indicators. Employment numbers, retail sales, consumer spending, things like that. Here's one that caught our interest, though. Bankruptcies are down at their lowest level since 2008. That sounds like good news, right? Not so, according to Marketplace's economics guru, Chris Farrell. He joins us now to explain. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Stacey.
So bankruptcies slated to be at their lowest level since 1995. What is going on here? I was really surprised by this.
Lowest since 1995, and part of it is a lot of debt has been written off. The economy is getting better. But here's the thing that I really leapt at. More and more debt can't be discharged in bankruptcy. And that means student loans. And so this student loan story, I think, is incredibly important to tell, especially about private student loans.
So this means that if you declare bankruptcy, you cannot get rid of your student loans in a bankruptcy.
That's right. So we have two basic types of student loans, Stacey. As you know, we have the federal student loans, and you haven't been able to discharge those in bankruptcy for a long period of time. And, you know, the reason is there's a lot of flexibility with federal student loans. You can go into forbearance, deferment. There's sort of these income-based repayment plans. But in 2005, The Bankruptcy Reform Act included private student loans into the category of loans that you can't discharge in bankruptcy, and this was, simply put, an abomination.
Why did this change happen?
Political power. The financial services industry was able to get private student loans included in this category of loans that can't be discharged in bankruptcy. But here's the thing. If you look at private student loans, there's none of the flexibility of federal student loans. And people who are contemplating bankruptcy, who are on the edge where bankruptcy might be a sensible option, if they can't discharge those debts in bankruptcy, they're going to continue to live a life burdened by debt and not get this opportunity for a fresh start.
Have there been proposals to change this law?
There have been a number of proposals, and most of the proposals that I've looked at all concentrate on the private student loans. And I think there's a general agreement out there that this was a mistake. However, good luck getting that passed in Washington in the current environment. But one can always hope.
Marketplace economics guru Chris Farrell. Chris, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Stacey.
And finally, Axe Body Spray is axing its longstanding ad campaign. You know, the one where a man douses himself with body spray and is suddenly mobbed by enthusiastic women. The tagline for Axe was even, "We can help you with girls." The ads worked, sales spiked, and the brand has dominated the market. It's especially popular among adolescent boys. There's just one problem. According to Bloomberg Businessweek, Axe itself doesn't work. Women don't actually like the way it smells. So the company is scaling back its lady magnet promises and is moving to a subtler ad campaign involving men showering in chocolate. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.